I want to thank you for this opportunity. I want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. I want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Life-giving, life-living blood of Jesus Christ. It delivers us, it heals our bodies, it makes a way where there is no way. It does things that are impossible, things that are even unbeknownst to us, working continually to bring us to the expectation that is in your heart concerning us. I want to thank you for this opportunity. Father, I just submit my mind, I submit my emotions, I submit my will to you this afternoon. I ask for your preeminence. Father, I pray for those here hearing. I pray that you would anoint their ears. I understand, Father, it's not so much the words as it is the administration of the Spirit. For it says that if we worship you, we must worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, our sharing of the word, our sharing of the thoughts that are in your heart is in as worship. So Father, we just pray for that unction, that anointing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may sit down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I appreciated Sister's word. It was very, very good. And I hope that we are listening. Can we just kind of turn that off for a little bit? The light anyway. Thank you. I can't see you. I have to see your smiling faces. They are smiling, right? Hallelujah. They don't look too smiley. Praise the Lord. I would appreciate also having your undivided. I know that there are many activities and you probably have food and things that you're needing to fix. But we have come to hear the Word of God. God has sent me here to share with you. I can't say that I came with the Word of God, but I came with an expectation because I know that God sent me. And I know that we are living in a critical time. So if you need a drink of water, if you need to go to the restroom or something, I trust that you will be able to restrain yourself in order to hear what the Lord has got to say to you. I'm only here for a short time. You're only here for a short time. And some of us don't really know how short our time is. Praise the Lord. We are living in a very serious time. We are living in a very critical time. For us as a human race, as well as us as a people who have heard a particular word. Now, the word that you have heard is a word that you did not get out of the thin air. You did not get it by divine revelation in your closet. It was a word that was brought to you by a man that was sent to deliver it. Now, you may have not got the word from him firsthand. But you are a product of that word. And when that man came to the United States, his name was Cecil DeCille. I'm just giving you a little history. Some of you, you know, most of you that I know weren't even married when I originally went to Nigeria or came to England or any other place as far as that's concerned. And I have been under the auspices of this word, under the hand of this word, under the grinding of this word for well over 50 years. I did not spend very much time in church, per se, as a young man because God called me out at the age of 25. Called me out of the church. And then he brought me in contact with Cecil and Mavis DeCille, who had come to the United States on the directive from God to come shortly before the destruction. Of course, Brother DeCille's interpretation of shortly was within at least 2 years. And so like mad people, they were running back and forth across the United States, starting little groups. At one time we had over probably 150 groups, 160 groups, all established by them, almost in every state in the United States. They didn't stop for 2 years. They just ran with the message. Hallelujah. And from that, and I'm giving you all of this for a reason, you know. And out of that ministration, there were certain places that were established in the United States that became something of support bases that allowed Brother and Sister Mavis to begin to expand the work of the Lord and the bringing of this word. And when he was sent to Nigeria, it was by visitation. The Lord came to them in their home and told them that they had to go to Nigeria. And I'm very thankful that I was a part of that extension, that God was able to include me in that in spite of my position of rebellion and working contrary to the will of God. Isn't God so marvelous? You know, in spite of the fact of who we are, what we are, and everything about us that is contrary to God, God works to incorporate and include us in His business. Hallelujah. And so He brought this word to you. Hallelujah. And I say, because many have come from there to hear, and which I have been aware of. You know, we were here in the early days when none of you were here. There were four young ladies that we were coming to visit. Sister Mo, Sister Ozzy, Romney, Ronke, and who was Judy. Judy. How could I forget Judy? Praise the Lord. And out of that, this is here. Hallelujah. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. That's all right. That's not important because I know what I know. There was something done in the Spirit that allowed you to be able to come here and to fellowship together and be and to hear this word. Praise the Lord. And you've been through a lot of tribulation. You've been through a lot of trouble. Individually, in your personal lives, been fire and things. Also collectively, there has been a lot of tribulation and a lot of trouble. 5 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe now, 5 years, I'm not sure, the Lord said that He was going to shake the church once more. And He said anything that would be shaken would be removed, and that which would not be shaken. So there is still a shaking that is going on in the midst. I don't know what's happening here. I don't try to keep a record as to the different fellowships and what's going on. I just try to listen to God. Hallelujah. So there is yet a great shaking going on. And there is going to be other great shakings because, you see, you know, as much as some of you Hmong people may not want to hear it, we are coming into the last days. You know, I suppose as a young person, I would not want to necessarily hear that. You know, you have aspirations, you have desires, you have something out in front of you that is called careers, right? Hallelujah. Trying to figure out where you're going to fit as far as society is concerned. Some of you wanting to get married, some of you wanting to have children, and the things that are that previous generations have enjoyed. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if you could call it enjoyed. Maybe suffered through. Hallelujah. But it is only because if you have that opinion, if you're in that position, and this goes for us adults too, because you see, we're in trouble as a people. When I was told your conference theme, you know, usually when somebody tells you a conference theme, they want you to speak on that. You know what I mean? And it gives me a little bit of a problem because the calling that I have on my life, God says, don't think about what you're going to say. Don't go in and try to study it all out and deliver a message. He told me, you go and I send you, you open your mouth and I will fill it. Hallelujah. But you must have hit the right theme. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. And I thought it was very apropos. And when you're talking about Lot's wife, and remember Lot's wife, you know, there's a lot to that, I suppose, but we kind of might want to single it out and put it into a feminine capacity, in a feminine malady, and blame the women for it. But before you do that, remember that the scripture is allegorical. It's something that is given. You know, these people suffered and did what they did to illustrate something in the Bible that we might learn something from them concerning it. Hallelujah. Not that you women don't have something to worry about, because you do. You know, the how do I say this? I hope you just don't misunderstand me. Praise the Lord. If you do, then you'll have to pray for me. You Nigerian ladies are strong personalities. You're strong. Sometimes too strong. You're strong personalities. I don't hear any amens. You're strong personalities. And that strength can be a good thing. It can. It can be a good thing. It can be a very good thing. But if it's not under the auspices of God, if it's not under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, if it's not under the authority and submission of God, and how are you going to know that unless you're working in that capacity in the natural realm? And you know, it doesn't make any difference if you're right or wrong. And I'm not just talking to you ladies. Don't get me wrong. I'm just... Hallelujah. Because it applies to us as a church. God doesn't look at us as male or female. God looks at us as a church, which is His bride. Hello, are you there? Praise the Lord. And, you know, recently the Lord has been revealing some of the mysteries of iniquity. And the reason why He is revealing those mysteries of iniquity and giving us that information is so that we know what we are fighting. And you ladies have something to fight that we men cannot fight. Hallelujah. And you ladies, and the men have something to fight that you ladies cannot fight for them. You can help them as well as they can help you. But you have your own position, your own place of fighting to do and overcoming. You know, and it all goes right, really goes back to the very beginning. You know, when you had light and darkness and all of that stuff going on. And it says in the beginning that there was a darkness. In Genesis 1 says, darkness covered the earth. And the earth was without form. Darkness was preeminent. Did you know that? In the aspect of where it was and what it was doing. And it was God that divided the light from the darkness, but He didn't just divide it one time. He divided it several times. And every time He brought that darkness down. Condensed it as it was. And the final division of that darkness, hallelujah, the final division of that darkness was done in the aspect of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, which was Jesus Christ in the garden. And the instructions, of course, was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In that day you will die. Now, you might think that, you know, you might think that, that prophecy did not come forth, but when you look at the life of Adam, it says that, Peter says that a day is as a thousand years with the Lord. Adam died at 900 and some odd years, almost 1,000, which would have been a day of God. He didn't make it to the end of the day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, then God did some strange thing. And for a while, it was a mystery to me. He took a man, He took an entity that He created, and He created him and her. Isn't that what He did? Does your Bible say the same thing my Bible says? Huh? Does it say that? You guys are looking at me strange. Hallelujah. You really are. You're looking at me strange. You're like, what kind of weird thing is he going to throw on us here? What kind of thing is he going to try to put on us? Hallelujah. Well, I'm not trying to put anything on you. I'm just trying to share with you a revelation, an understanding of what it is that you are fighting. Paul says in one of his Corinthian books, he says, he is not one that fights against his own shadow. Boxing at his own shadow. You know, I try boxing at my shadow. It boxes back sometimes. Praise the Lord. But he says, I know what I fight against. And so you and I have to know what it is that we fight against. We talk about overcoming. What do I have to overcome? Oh, you can say, well, anger, blah, 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 this and this and this. Now, those are all superficial manifestations of a deeper problem. Those are all things that may not seem so surface. You get somebody who's really got an anger problem and they can just go haywire. But the fact of the matter is, and you can bind the anger, you can even maybe bind the spirit, but have you fixed the problem which has created the situation in the beginning? Do you know what it is? Hallelujah. And that is what the scripture says when it talks about coming to the light. Did you hear it? And it's a self-volition thing. It's something that's self-motivated. One person has to bring himself to the light. If he doesn't want to come to the light, then he's not going to be eliminated, and the darkness will never be exposed. You have an individual responsibility, and you can blame anything and everybody in the world, and at the end of the day, when you're standing before the Lord, it will have no basis whatsoever. Your excuse will not hold. We have the parable. You have to follow me because I jump quite a bit. We have the parable of the wedding feast, right? And everybody there had a particular garment on. It was their responsibility to put that garment on. One man in there thought he could violate the rules. And there was the master of ceremonies came, the master of the feast came to him, and he says, friend. Now, it's particular that the Bible uses the word friend. Bible doesn't use things haphazardly. The Bible doesn't use words without meaning or without purpose. And there's a couple of places where God uses the word friend very intimately. Says, and the most prominent position or place is where he is talking to Abraham, and he says, should I not tell my friend Abraham what I am about to do? Do you know what's going to happen next week, next year? Do you have any idea of the circumstances and the events that are coming? Hallelujah. If you don't, then you're not yet in that friendship category with God. You may be doing things in the Lord, but if God isn't talking to you about what is coming, you've got a problem. You got a problem. And the problem is fixable if we want to fix it. But there's something about it is that you have to want to fix it. You have to want to fix it. If you don't want to fix it, what can God do for you? You can pray till your lips fall off. You can rebuke devils till you're blue in the face. Hallelujah. And you may get a respite, you may get a little rest, but it is not going to change the position. It's not going to change the set of circumstances. And at the end of the day, you will find yourselves, or we shall find ourselves. Now please, please, do not think I'm talking down to you. Hallelujah. Because I am not. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, what is going to count is a position of our relationship with Jesus Christ and what we have done to achieve it. You're not just a friend of God because you have the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not a friend of God because you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're not a friend of God because you have the spirit of discernment. Or you prophesy. Or you have dreams. That doesn't make you a friend of God. That just, you have the benefits of having that position or experience in God that is called the drop of your inheritance. It's a drop. And yet we are so satisfied with it. We are so much enthralled with it. We are so much wrapped around it that that which was ordained to life begins to kill us. Now, when the Bible says that the devil is going to come as an angel of light, do you think that angel of light is going to go to the heathen out there? Huh? Do you think that's just where he's going? Where is he coming? He's coming not just to the church. He's coming to the elect. He's coming to the elect. And what makes you or I a part of the elect? What makes you or I a part of the elect is if the, in the word that we hear concerning what it is that God had intended for humanity from the very beginning. In the very beginning, he had one thought, one desire, one goal to accomplish. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And because we have the image of God, we think that we're like God. Hello? Because we have the potential to become as God, hallelujah, we think that we are God. But we haven't done what is necessary to facilitate the process of change. Hallelujah. And the process of change involves, hallelujah, quite simply, you ceasing to exist. You ceasing to exist in who and what you are, all of your aspirations and hopes and desires, your heritage, your histories, everything about you has to be consumed by fire. Because the only thing that's going to withstand the fire that has come, great tribulation such as the world has never known. Hello? Can you imagine that? I have been so many places around the world, and I have seen so much destruction, so much depravity of mind, so much inhumane, obscene, violent acts committed by one human being against another one. And I can't for the life of me think, how could they ever have anything worse than this? And yet the Bible says, like you have never ever seen before and never ever shall be again. Hallelujah. And we don't have this thinking. We don't have this mentality. Most of us are making decisions on what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, on the basis of our current environment. Local, community, government, position or place of experience. That's how we're making decisions. Hallelujah. And one of the things that you make a decision is if you unilaterally decide to do something. You know, we talk about all the different aspects of this Revelation church and so forth and so on, and we throw in the mix of it the thing that we call body. And we like to think that we are the body of Christ. We're not the body of Christ. We are not the body of Christ. We have the theology of the body of Christ. We have the idea of the body of Christ. We may have the revelation of the body of Christ. But my body works from one source alone, and it doesn't confer with the other parts of my being that I'm aware of. Now, there could be messages that my body is sending to my head, and my head is sending to the other portions of my body. But I am afraid to trust God with my life. I am. Hallelujah. Maybe you're not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, consequently, I make unilateral decisions that gets me in trouble. And then I sit there and say, God, why am I in this trouble? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I am a person who kind of likes to know things and have a set pattern, you know, and to follow that little path, you know. I'm just telling on myself. And to come here, you know, it was a little bit difficult, and it was a little bit out of the ordinary. I would have to catch a train and travel somewhere, and then I would have to find a taxi to travel somewhere else to get to an airport and blah, 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 blah. Those things unsettle me, you know what I mean? I'd like to know, well, at point A, so-and-so is going to be there, and they're going to do this, and I'll get to point B, and blah, 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 boom, bam, and then I wind up and somebody's there. Praise the Lord. No sweat. Hallelujah. I'm just wondering, that's the way I like things. Hallelujah. But it's not the way things work. They go to take me to the train, and there's a detour. They took the bridge out. Can you imagine the devil removing a bridge so I can't get to a train? Huh? Or I get into a taxi to go to the airport and there's a major wreck in the road. And the traffic is all backed up. Hallelujah. Or I arrive at the place I'm supposed to be and the arrangements that were made, the man doesn't show, the taxi man doesn't show. And I've got like maybe an hour to get to where I want to go, get checked in, get you know, everything through. Hallelujah. Or they hold us up in the airport. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When we were going to Liberia, my goodness, hallelujah. We didn't have the proper paperwork. We thought we had the proper paperwork. We didn't have the proper paperwork. And when we got there, the guy says, where's your paperwork? And I said, what paperwork? I said, here's my passport. That's the only passport. That's all I need. There's my passport. And he said, no, you need a letter, or you need a visa, or a letter. Well, we didn't have either of those. Praise the Lord. He said, and he didn't want to bother me no more. You know, you know how they are. He just, I became a non-entity. I don't know how you guys do that, but I became a non-entity. I'm standing right there in front of him, and George is standing right there, and Wade is standing right there, but we don't exist. He doesn't look at us, doesn't acknowledge us. We're just standing there. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Long story short, we wound up in Liberia. Praise the Lord. It wasn't quite that short, but it was a miracle of God that we got there. And it was a miracle of God that we got out, because I said, well, we had this much trouble getting out. How much trouble are we going to have getting? I'm getting in. How much trouble are we going to have getting out? Hallelujah. Brother Joe says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Easy for him to say, right? He's got a free pass. Hallelujah. But there are certain aspects of us that we are not aware of, that God has to reveal to us, that are darkness. So his God in the beginning, he takes a man and he divides him. No? He divides him. And he divides them and tells them, he divides them. Sorry, I needed to. He divides them. And he tells them that they have to be one. Can you imagine? Now, just imagine these as pieces that fit together. Okay, my drawing is always very, very, very rough. Praise God. He divides them and separates, and then he tells them that they have to be one. My goodness, that's like sometimes mixing oil and water, you know? Of course, you don't have that problem, do you? Huh? It's like oil and water. Sometimes it just doesn't, you know, oil kind of floats on the top of water, and the more you try to shake it, the worse it gets. Huh? Come on. Am I telling stories? Am I talking to the wrong people or something? Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in the meantime, the devil is over here somewhere, and he's working. He's over here somewhere working. Huh? He's over there in the kitchen. And he's working. Working. Hallelujah. Just waiting for his opportunity. Hallelujah. And lo and behold, here comes Eve for her morning stroll. And she just happened to walk in the vicinity of that tree. And you all know the story. She took the fruit. Hallelujah. She took and ate the fruit and she gave it to her husband. Now, something happened in Orthodox. Something happened that changed the entire scenario of what it was that God had originally created. It changed everything. Hallelujah. And you know, it's kind of scary to think that that type of situation happens over and over and over and over again. We, as a body of people, are no more wiser for what they did in the beginning, and we allow it to happen over and over and over and over again. Why is it that we are so ignorant of his devices when the scripture says that we should not be ignorant? Why? Because we are not spending time with God. We are going to church. We are reading our Bible, maybe. We are listening to messages, maybe. Sometimes. Not all the time. But we're busy people, right? We have our responsibilities. You have wives, husbands, children, schools, food, business to take care of. All of those things crowding in on our soul. Hallelujah. And pushing us. And we are becoming less and less like God. We have the revelation. We have the mechanics of it. We have it. We got our notes. We got our prophecies. We go to our church and they're preaching up the message of sonship. But we're not becoming sons. We're not becoming sons. Why? Because we do not know the relative truth of what it is that we are supposed to be fighting. We end up fighting each other. We end up fighting and quarreling with each other. I watch my grandkids. I got a lot of them, you know. Hallelujah. I got 20 now. Oh yes. From 1 year to 17. Hallelujah. I watched them. And you know, I watched them and they start quarreling with each other. One will have a toy that the other one wants. And sometimes they manipulate them to get it. Sometimes they just come and grab it and push them down. Huh? But it's all the same spirit. It's all the same thought. And I watch them in their behavior. They're told to do something and they moan and complain and groan and all of the things that human beings do. You know, or they say, why do you favor them and not me? You ever hear that one before? Huh? Okay. Why do you make me do it and you don't make them do it? You ever hear that one before? Or maybe somebody assigns you something to do and you say, why me? I do this and this and this and this and this and they don't do zero. Huh? Have you heard that one before? Hallelujah. 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 Because there's something of an entity that is so malignant and so well hid that we don't know about it and we are blaming something else. First of all, we start out by blaming each other. Oh, then some sort of revelation comes or some sort of confrontation comes, so we can't blame each other anymore, so we blame the devil. Big bad devil, right? Hallelujah. You know, the devil in his position of strength, in his ability to destroy humanity, is one of the biggest myths in the whole history of mankind. Because without you, the devil could do nothing.
That's right.
You see, God did not create an angel with God-like capacity. Did you hear me? The Bible tells you that God did not create angels in the same manner and the same fashion with the same attributes, with the same potential that He created you. You're the only entity that God created in all of creation, both heaven and earth, that has the capacity to be like Him. Hello? Hello? It's there. Everything brings forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. So devil doesn't have the potential. Devil doesn't have the ability. Devil doesn't have the mechanics by which to do it. But if he can deceive you into thinking that he can use your darkness. I was pondering this one day, and I said, God, what is this darkness? And God said to me, it is a latent power of wickedness. And I said, what do you mean by latent? And He took me into a vision, and He showed me a big reservoir. You know what a reservoir is, huh? And it was full of water. And He said to me, is there latent power in that water? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a physicist. I have no idea. Hallelujah. I said, that's water. I swim in it. I ski on it. I fish in it. Hallelujah. It's placid. It doesn't hurt me. I get into it. But he said, if you run it through a device that is called a generator, what happens? Power. Electrical power. Electrical. You are enjoying lights. We are enjoying mechanics. We are enjoying all of the things that are generated by, well, maybe you're not here. Maybe this is nuclear. I don't know. But water has the ability, but it needs a generator. It needs a generator to produce what it is that is going to be converted into a substance that is beneficial to you. And that is what darkness is like. Hallelujah. That is what darkness is like. So the devil is looking at all of this and thinking how to utilize this darkness. He's like an engineer that sees a problem and then he begins to figure out how to solve the problem. Huh? Hallelujah. And he came up with a plan. And he thought he had some kind of intuition, knowledge, or some kind of ability to discern that God was moving in a particular direction. Because we say it in the Psalms. He says that he wanted to exalt himself above the stars of God. He wanted to sit in Mount Zion. But he was not created to sit in Zion. So he needed something that was created to sit in Zion and sit in Zion in him in Zion. And Zion is you and I. It's the ultimate position of desire that God has. Hallelujah. In that he said, let us create man. They're simple words. They're basic words, but there are so much of God's heart that is in them. Hallelujah. And you know, I don't know that I understand it. I don't know that it's not that God doesn't love me personally, but the thought or the desire that God had concerning me in the corporate expression of what it is that He wants to bring forth at the end of the day. Hallelujah. It's the thing that God loves. Hallelujah. You know, that just makes me a little bitty piece of the puzzle. It doesn't exalt me into a position of preeminence and power. Hallelujah. You know, we are a lot like John and James. We want to sit on your left hand. We want to sit on your right hand. Oh, yes. You want to sit there. You don't know what you're asking for. And they have no idea. But yet we want to sit there and we make no bones about it. Hallelujah. I'm a son of God. Well, you're only a son of God by grace that God bestows on you. And what you do to participate and facilitate it. You know, there's a doctrine in the church. Once saved, always saved. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes. And we have it. We don't call it that doctrine. It's our actions. It's the things that we do or we don't do. Hallelujah. And we think that God will forgive. Or if they're ambiguous, we think God will overlook. That God will have some sort of tolerance for us in the aspect of the knowledge that we have. My God, God's going to look at me in a very more critical and severe way. Just on the basis of the knowledge that I do possess concerning Him. And what did I do with it? How did I utilize it? Did I become more like God? Or did I just become a little bit of God and a whole lot of me? I got God surrounded by me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was last year, year before last, I don't know. Every year up until this year, the Lord had given me a word for every year to go and to run with that word. One of the words that He gave me was the year of zero tolerance. It said zero tolerance. Now, we don't like to think of God in that respect, do we? Hallelujah. But I heard somebody mention five wise and five foolish. Is it a Christian attitude that the five wise took toward the five foolish? Huh? Well, from my perspective, it's very non-Christian. You're supposed to give of what you got. You got one coat, you give another. You got walk 1 mile, you walk seven. And in this case, no. No coat, no mile. Hallelujah. Go get your own. Now, do you think that's something instantaneous that happens all at once? Or do you think that there is a process by which you are being worked and moved to come to that position? There is a darkness that wants to resist you from doing that. Inside of you. Hallelujah. I pray to God that we can get this aspect of darkness. Listen to me, brethren. Listen to me. Hallelujah. When Eve partook of the fruit, she became darkness. She became darkness. Hallelujah. Let me just, for the sake of this discussion, it's the female darkness. Huh? Hello, are you there? Yes. It's hard, isn't it? It's tough. It's going to get tougher, believe you me. Hallelujah. But she gave it to her husband. Hallelujah. She gave it to her husband. He became darkness. Hallelujah. And we have now the male counterpart to that darkness. Hallelujah. God had to do it this way. Hallelujah. Because me as a man can't overcome the feminine darkness. There is such a division between male and female. Hallelujah. That the twain shall never be mixed unless they get rid of the darkness. And they were commanded to come back together again. Loose! Hallelujah. How do we come? Getting married, having children, living life? No. That's just the mechanical aspects of it. My God, we are so carnal that we think we have attained by the fact of some of the unity or harmony we have in the relationship, and maybe our kids are doing somewhat well. Have we overcome the darkness? No. Have we won? No. Hallelujah. We still have our individual personalities. We still have our position, our personal preferences. We still are working against each other. We're still fighting darkness against darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. And you know, make matters, I did a teaching about 5, 6, 7 years ago, a series of conferences I had. It was called, what was it called? Jesus. Design, Form, and Purpose. Design, Form, and Purpose. I'm in the process of re-editing it and going through and making it into a book. Hallelujah. Design, Form, and Purpose. And in that there is a plan, a purpose. But what God is doing, we have to get rid of this aspect of darkness. And you know, you are married, but you're individually, you're separated, right? Hallelujah. When one receives life from God, they become born again. Hello? Are you there? Does your born againness do something with regards to your partner? Huh? Or it may facilitate him. It may bring tribulation into your life. Huh? Hallelujah. But he has to experience the position, the place of being born again. Hallelujah. And you both have to then begin to establish a relationship with a living source. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, if you're spending 15 minutes in the morning or 30 minutes at night to accomplish what it is that you need to do, you're working against about 4,000 years of darkness. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? It's going to take an all-out concentrated effort, especially in the fact of the time frame that we have. Hallelujah. You know, the conference in Illinois, we have a website. I encourage you all to go onto it. We have what we call a bulletin board website. It's called www.reachingbeyondwords.org or .net. I don't know. Hallelujah. I have a few cards left. I can give them to somebody and they can put there. It's a bulletin board web address. It has so many different websites on it. It has my website, it has Brother Mark's website, it has the Sunlight Ministries website, and it also includes Brother Ravenhill, A.W. Tozer, some of T. Austin Sparks' books and stuff. All of this stuff is so good. You know, when I was a young man, I cut my teeth on T. Austin Sparks. And I didn't know if anybody else knew about him, because everybody I talked to him about said they didn't ever heard of him until I went to Africa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can go on there, download it. It's free, brethren. It's free, free, free. It doesn't cost you anything but internet time. It's free. You can copy it. You can distribute it. You can get the videos. I don't know. We have so much material. And we spend so much time looking at other things. Sports, Olympics. Shows, movies, huh? Entertain, or we just come together and talk. We don't talk about God, we don't talk about the Word, we don't talk about the trouble we're in, and you don't have within you the gifts of the Spirit moving. The children should be having dreams, they should be having visions, they should be learning how to flow in God. Hallelujah. I saw a mother one time with her child, and I have seen her at other times when the child was small. And there was no care or concern that the child was not sitting, watching, and listening to the Word of God. It was up running around. And then when he turned 16 or 17, she wondered why he wasn't hearing the Word of God. He had the knocking in the head to wake him up. Why? We have something that no one else has had. We have a Word, hallelujah, that has a latent power of authority, latent power of authority in us, and it's lying down there, buried as it were in the dirt. Hallelujah. You think God is happy with a church in this hour? I had a friend. He's now dead. He had a website, Good News from a Happy God. There's nothing happy about God. God is grieving over the church. God is not happy with it. God is grieving over the church. Our young people are more interested in academics than they are in God. They're more wanting more of the things of the world than they want the things of a God. And then you come and you want them to give up. They're not going to do it. Not unless you teach them that this is a life of sacrifice. This is a life of tribulation and trouble. We look at tribulation as some foreign entity that has come in to invade our environment. And we want nothing to do with it. We slam the doors, pull the shades, put the bolts on the doors. Hallelujah. When we're supposed to be a tribulation people, we should love tribulation. We should love it, not moan, complain, and lament over the fact that we're being tribulated. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be a tribulation people. Think it not strange, those fiery darts that come to tribulate you. Hallelujah. You go to an airport and they look at your passport and they begin to persecute you. What happens? Rises up. Begins to tell them all of the reasons why. And then you begin to belittle them. Oh yeah, I've been there. I've been there. Hallelujah. Well, I saw a difference in when we were confronted there in Lagos to get on the plane. I saw a man begin to negotiate in the spirit. I saw a man begin to negotiate in the spirit. And we were having our little prayer meeting over there in front of the guy who was ignoring us. Hallelujah. And God did something that should not have happened. You know, I don't know. I said to my friend, I said, is this just Africa? Is it because Africa that they will let you do this? And he says, absolutely not. He says, if your passport doesn't read what's on your ticket, you aren't getting on that plane. And you know what? My ticket was even wrong. Oh, yes. Instead of having my full name as it is on my passport, it had the condensed version. And they had misspelled the last name. Hello? Hallelujah. They should not have let me on that plane. Everybody else was checked in. I'm sitting there. Am I going? Am I staying? Hallelujah. 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 We need to understand what it is that we are dealing with. Hallelujah. We need not to be fools anymore. Be taken as a fool. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to understand the power of the darkness that is in me. In me, in me, in me. The darkness in me. And I need to begin to segregate myself from that darkness. And when I begin to work on that darkness, I am overcoming the ability of the devil to manipulate my mentality, my emotions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fact of the matter is, hallelujah, what devil has done is that he has formed an adulterous relationship, hallelujah, with each of us with the world. Hello? Hallelujah. You see, the devil is not dumb in the aspect of how he can mechanically figure things out, or he begins to work it that he might achieve what it is that he wants. Do you know why? Do you know why a demon wants to possess you? Huh? Do you know why? Because he wants that position or that right of authority And he wants the availability of your God-like qualities. Did you hear me? When you are created with a particular potential to become like God, that means within you is the capacity of God. And that capacity is under your control. Hello? But when he gains control of you, then he begins to come. But the problem is, humanity has not yet come to a place to where it is able to hold the fullness of what hell is. When we see the example of Judas, it was an experiment. You know that? It was an experiment. It was an experiment of devil in practice with humanity. Judas could not contain the entirety of sin that was in that the darkness that was Satan. Did you hear me? He had to kill himself. Hallelujah. So humanity has been being moved, and there have been other examples of it. World War II, look what came forth out of that. Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin. Huh? All of those were laboratory experiences. All of those were bringing humanity to a position or a place to where Satan could come in his fullness and stand in the midst of the holy place. The holy place is your soul. Hallelujah. That's the holy place. Your soul is the holy place. Hallelujah. And we are coming to that place. Do you know that we have aspects of humanity that are completely devoid of thought, passion, and love, and understanding, and they are almost in their own natures demons. We are coming now to that place. You're seeing it. A woman that can take her baby and strap bombs to her and then send her into a room filled with people and then press the button. Aka! Where is that moral compassion? Where is it on the human level? Just a human level. A dog wouldn't do that to her puppies. But a human being will do that to her babies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Darkness, 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 darkness. And you are supposed to be a light in the midst of that darkness. Hallelujah. Isaiah said that darkness would cover the earth. Why? Because gross darkness would be upon the people. Dark, have you ever thought of darkness as casting a shadow? Hallelujah. The earth is in darkness, not because of devil, because darkness in you, darkness in me, and the darkness that is being perpetrated throughout humanity. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And God is revealing the mystery of iniquity. We have had the revelation of the sons of God. We have got the material that is necessary to facilitate that position and that place of excellence as in becoming son. God is now revealing the mystery of iniquity. Hallelujah. But there's something very scary about it. Hallelujah. Because when he begins to reveal something, there's usually an outward working of that manifestation in the society in which we live. What I mean is, darkness rises up to destroy the light. Hallelujah. Because it's not just coming and learning something new. Because when you come and God begins to speak to you in the Spirit, by the Spirit, there is something of a power, there's something of an authority that comes to you that is yours to possess if you are willing. Hallelujah. To facilitate God destroying the darkness. How do we destroy the darkness? Simple. Not complicated. Relationship. Relationship. Simple. Isn't it? You want something really complicated, don't you? You want something that's really out of this world, like going to Mars or something. It's simple. It's simple. It's simple. It's simple, 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 simple. Brethren, it couldn't be any more simple. You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, with all of your mind. Hallelujah. That means that we have to exchange something. Hallelujah. We have to exchange something. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. We talk a lot about body, but we really do not believe in the actuality of God and His ability to function as a body. We think He needs me. Needs my wisdom, needs my experience, needs my revelation, needs my tenacity, my determination, needs me. God don't need me. He just wants me to participate with Him. Do you hear me? He just wants me. He wants me to participate with Him. He wants me there. Not that He needs me. Yes. Hallelujah. I see these posters and I go through the airport and they're advertising something like for UNICEF or for some other health organization, and there's a man and he's carrying a boy on his shoulder. I'm sure some of you may have seen it. And he says, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. Huh? God just wants me to participate. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Because He wants me, not because He needs me. Somehow in the intricacies of God's mind, God determined that this is what He wanted to do. And because of that, I have an opportunity now to participate and to facilitate. Not because He needs me. Hallelujah. And He's proving it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Daniel had a vision years ago. I don't know how many years ago it was. Maybe 30 years ago. I don't know how long ago, but it was a long time. And the vision puzzled me for a long time, and I had chewed on it, and I had chewed on it for almost 30-some years. Hallelujah. He had a vision, and he saw the sons of God in Paris. Maybe some of you have heard the vision. Hallelujah. And they were all lined up, and he could hear the guillotine. And they were all lined up, the sons of God. Doesn't sound too victorious, does it? Huh? Their heads were being chopped off. And I'm saying to God, why are you chopping their heads off? But you know, I'm looking at it from a natural perspective. Not that I won't get my head chopped off. Hallelujah. I hope that if I do, I'm ready for it. I don't want to be one of those he saw on the line was like this. But there were some that were fellowshipping with each other and rejoicing. And the more closer they got, the happier they became. Because there was something of an understanding that they had. They were all reaching the position of the final place of sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You do it all the time, right? You say it over and over again. You're still alive. You're still there. You still have your thing. You got your house. You got your plans. You got your purposes. And you got your destinies all set out, all lined up. Hallelujah. My God! No wonder we need tribulation, brethren. Tribulation is coming whether you're ready or not. It is escalating, 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 escalating. I was such under a heavy burden when I left the States this last time that I was almost afraid to leave. Not because of what I was fearing would be out there, but because of those I was leaving behind. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. And I had to pray, and I had to pray, and I had to pray, and I had to pray to get a release in the Spirit from that heaviness. Loose! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tribulation is coming. Here we are all lined up. And and then it clicked. Click. Little light comes on. Blink. I heard it's a head offering. It's a head offering. You know, we talk about that fifth station in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. We talk about that place of the offering of the soul. It's a head offering. It's a head offering. It's when you divorce yourself from your way of life and thinking. Ah! Come on. It's when we begin to say, all right, I don't care. What I care about is being in the center of your will. Let it all fall apart all around me. It's your business. You know, Brother Dusile used to say it. He would come. He says, if my business in a mess, it's God's business. It's not my business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, we cannot. You know, the conference in July, it's on the web. Go to the Sunlight Ministries website. It's on video. It's on audio. Get it. Download it. Look at it. And there was tapes I was passing around. I don't know if you got any of them. You got some of them. Of the 2011 conference, year of conferences. My God. Hallelujah. Starting in July, there were 5 conferences around the world, ending up in no other place other than Port Harcourt, Nigeria. My God. Hallelujah. And the Word of God coming. And if you don't hear it, it's not God's problem. Not God's problem. Do you hear it? And because it was in Muhammad, or in Dubuque, or in Schuyler, or in Port Harcourt, and you didn't hear it, doesn't excuse you. It's all there. If you want to take the time to go, to find it. You don't know how many thousands of dollars we have spent making this stuff available free. Hallelujah. And it's not money, it's blood. It's blood. And I'm going to be held accountable if I have the access to it and I do not utilize. I suggest you get it before something catastrophic happens to the internet and you can't have it. Do you think they're going to allow you to be able to communicate with the world? Huh? Come on. I was in Ethiopia and they passed a law against all telephone internet connections. 15 years in jail if you use Skype. $10,000 fine. Hello? Why would they pass a law like that? Why? Why would they pass a law like that? Because they don't want you communicating. They don't want you to know what is happening in their country. They don't want you to know. Why? Because they're doing something they should not be doing. Ruth, we prayed. My God, do you know what happened? Huh? God smote the prime minister. God smote the head of the Coptic church. Both of them, the Coptic church man died. They don't know where the prime minister is. Hallelujah. Why? Because we needed more time. We needed more time to do what it is that God wants us to do in Ethiopia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. We are in a war. Whether you know it or not, you are in a war by virtue, and it's no whole bars war. You know, the Mexican army, when they invaded the United States and they did the fight over the Alamo, they had this bugle call that they blew. And it's no quarter. No quarter. That means you take no survivors. And if you can listen in the spirit, you can hear that bugle being blown as far as hell is concerned, and you are in your position or your place or your understanding as far as this word is concerned. If you have heard this word, if your heart has responded to this word, you are an enemy of the state. And you will be treated as such. There will be no leniency. There will be no mercy. You will be a target. And you will be annihilated. You will be wiped out because you hold the key to the devil's destruction.
Right.
You hold it. And he cannot afford to allow you to hold it because sometime, somewhere, it might be activated. So he has to kill you or destroy you in sin. And don't tell me that the people who are now working under the auspices of this message are not in sin. They are even developing doctrines that excuse our sin. My God! Hallelujah! And I wanted to tell you something else. God says what is being done in secret shall be shouted from the housetops. And we are coming to the time of total exposure. Did you hear me? God cannot afford any longer to allow the sin that is in the body. Hallelujah. That is in the church, the holy place church. Do you hear me? It is not outside that the abomination is coming, brethren. It's from the inside that the abomination is rising up. Hallelujah. It's not some pig that some enemy is bringing in to slay and to offer as a sacrifice on the altar in a temple somewhere in Jerusalem. It is the soul, the heart of man that has this word. It's becoming an abominable thing. And we have the potential. Our darkness, don't discount. My darkness has the potential of bringing me into that position of captivity if I am not willing to deal with it. If I'm not willing to deal with it, no matter what, I'd rather die. My prayer, my position, God, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Years ago, in the very beginning, when God baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and there was so much darkness working in my life that it didn't seem to affect any of it. And I said to God, if you cannot heal me, if you cannot cleanse me, if I have to live in this condition, I would rather die. Hallelujah. God came down. Do you hear me? God came down into that room, knocked me on my face, and went down on top of me like Elijah went down on top of the dead boy. Hallelujah. And you know something? I have to maintain that mentality. Because he delivered me at that point doesn't mean I am totally, absolutely delivered. The minute I got up off of the floor, I was confronted with sin and I had to say no. I had to say no. No. The devil comes and shakes something in your face. You have to say no. No! The devil rises up to accuse you. The devil brings slander and all kinds of things against you again and again. And you have to say, no! No! Go into my closet, get down on my face, and begin to pray to God to have mercy on the souls of men and women. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? I have to go down on my face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes you have to leave something behind. Hello? There are relations that I have had in the past with brothers and sisters, and there comes a parting of the ways. And you have to say, okay, goodbye. 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 You're hurting, you're grieving. Inside of you, something is being ripped and torn. But you will have to say, goodbye. I must follow. I must go on in the hopes that in my going on, there will be deliverance for you. Yes! Yes! Not only friends, but sometimes brother and his family. Sometimes you have to take your hands off of them. And you have to allow the devil to strip them bare down to the bone. Hallelujah. Not that you don't hurt. Not that you're not grieving, you're in a place of prayer. And it's not that you're not doing whatever you can do to facilitate them unbeknownst to them. My God. This is the body. That's the price of the body. Jesus says, can you drink of my cup? He's offering you a cup. Are you willing to partake? Are you willing to drink? Do drink if you're not willing. Don't partake if you don't have the desire. Not a decision you can make, oh yes, I'm going to do it. Because God is going to come knocking on your door. God's coming to knock on your door. God's coming to knock on my door. Hallelujah. And if you think it's easy preaching a message like this, you've got another thing coming. I'd rather sit in my chair and listen to somebody else preach, because I am opening the door. I'm preaching up here. I'm down here. I'm preaching up here. Hear the machinery as the devil gets his cannons ready. Setting up the circumstances that I'm going to have to work through, because the word releases an authority to the principalities and a power to come and to put it to a test. Hallelujah. I'm very selective about where I go. I do not go unless God says go. Brother's been trying to get me somewhere. Come where? Somewhere. Somewhere. And I say, no, no, I'm not going. No, no, I'm not going. No, no. And one time he came to me and he says, blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, I'm going. I thought I had to hold him up. I don't go unless God tells me to go. Because there's something that I'm going to have to walk in. There's something I'm going to have to walk through. There's something of a price that I'm going to have to pay. Hallelujah. 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 The theology of church is go and get paid. Hallelujah. Can't have that. Doesn't work. Isn't consistent. Isn't in line with the calling, the election. The election is give, 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 give. And when you have no more to give, you reach down for that impossible gift, and there it is, and you give it again. Hallelujah. Darkness. We have a job to do, and we have little time to do it in. Little time. Little time. Little time. Hallelujah. Little time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You have about all you can take. Praise God.
All that you have said, we will do. every word since Thursday night up until this time, I can tell you and I can confirm, this is the mind of the Lord. This is a time saying, like Gideon, those who are afraid to go back, those who have commitments, but a company will follow the Lord. Father, we bless you. We exalt you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O God, for your word. We thank you for the outpouring of your life. Oh, Father, we thank you for the cry of the bridegroom. Quicken us, O God. Father, we receive strength for as many that are weak at this time. Father God, we strengthen the shoulders of everyone, even as we press on. Give strength to your people, O God. Take us past all this, all the noise of the outer court, O God. Take us past all the activity, O God, and bring us into that holiest of all. Thank you, Father God. Give strength to your people, O God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father God, for you are a good God. We bless you, Lord. Take me past the... How does that song go? Let's take that song. And into the holy place,
past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to seek your face. Take me past the crowds of people, and the priests to seek your face. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found in one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me holy of holies. Take the cold, touch my lips, here I am. Take me past the outer court, into your holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I long to seek your face. Take me past the crowds of people and the priests to sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found in one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy.
John chapter 6. Little did we know that that verses that he was reading was to set the stage for what we are about to hear. Ibuku, can you bring up John chapter 6, verse 60 in Amplified? And then also bring up verse 66, also in Amplified. We have come to a place, brethren, this moment, to a place of decision. It says, his disciples heard this. Many of them said, this is a hard and difficult and strange saying, an offensive and unbearable message. Who can stand to hear it? Who can be expected to listen to such a message? But the Lord expects us to bear this message. And not just bear it, but walk in it. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, brethren. Then look at verse 66. For those who chose to live, he said, after this, many of the disciples drew back. They returned to their old associations. In the original text, it says they went into the behind. They turned back into what they were doing before. Your choice, brethren, after the message you've heard today, is to say, do I bear this message or do I go back to the old reliable, the same old, same old? The Lord will guide your decision. The Lord said, he that will come after me, he that will walk in my footsteps, must take up his cross. What do you think that cross is? It is the cross. It is the place of death. And I tell you something. That vision that, you know, our brother shared with us, that brother Seth saw, a number of men of the Lord, men of the Spirit, have seen the same vision. There was one that I read. They were in a service, and somebody came in with a sword, and everybody started putting their head down, and they were being beheaded. Everyone. And some we are shrinking back. Yesterday night, and that's why for me, I just blessed God because I know that we are in a place of the Spirit of the Lord. I was looking at Revelation 20. As if, you know, again, the Lord is preparing us. Revelation 20, verse 4, Ibuku. When was speaking yesterday, said that we need to lose our senses, our eyes, our ears, our mouth. 20 verse 4. Yes. Then I saw thrones, and sitting in heaven were those to whom authority to act, judge, and to pass sentence was entrusted. And I saw souls of those who had been slain with axes, beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus, for the word of God, and who they refused to. Can we see it in KJV, please? Sorry. For the witness, you see, they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. They were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. They are not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither are they received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There is a witness of Jesus. When you witness, somebody takes you to court. I have a matter with Brother Obina. And I call Ibuku. I say, come and be a witness. Ibuku comes out and said, I saw it. I can recount what has happened. What Christ is saying is, we have to witness. Our lives has to witness Jesus. Each one of us must walk as the Lord Jesus walked. That is the witness. That's why he said the testimony, the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It is as I walk and I begin to testify in my life by my experience, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just talking, my life, which involves to the cross. Then the prophecy becomes life. Brethren, this is the calling. This is the high calling. This is what we are called unto. This is it, brethren. This is it. Somebody will say, well, it's just saying those who are beheaded. And then you ask yourself, what about those who are shot? Will they not get the same promise? So when he talks about beheading here, it's about a people who allow their heads to be taken off. And when you allow your head to be taken off, do you become headless? No. The Lord, the head, which is our Lord, takes that place. That is why the woman in Revelation chapter 12, having stood on the moon, being clothed with the sun, Bible says she had a crown of 12 stars on her head. Again, Brother Chijoke mentioned that yesterday. Brethren, the joy that we have is that we are a people of the Spirit, and every word that the Lord is speaking is being spoken to our spirit, and we know that we will receive these words and we will walk in them. But brethren, be careful. Do not go back to your old associations. Some of these words are difficult. I know they are difficult. But where can we go? These are the words of life, brethren. Where can we go?